we now know a little bit more about both of the cyber breaches at the Office of Personnel Management, but there are still plenty of questions. David Snell is the director of the Federal Benefits Service Department at the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. He testified before the House Science, Space, and Technology Subcommittee on Research and Technology and Oversight last week. Like other employee groups and some members of Congress, he said he's worried not just about the breaches themselves, but the lack of communication between OPM and the federal workforce since then. And Mr. Snell joins us now on the line. Hi, sir. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate you coming on.
Hello, Jared. Thanks for having me.
So as I said, we now know a bit more about even the second breach than we did at the time that you testified last week. But what questions do you still have for OPM, you know, especially as they relate to retirees, really?
Well, we still don't know on the first announced breach, the June 4th breach, how far back those records go. We have a vague time frame of the mid-80s, but we don't know exactly how far back they go. I think the Office of Personnel Management in its latest announcement on their website regarding the second breach has done a better job about answering many of our cases, our questions, particularly the exact number of people, those that were not involved, and those that were involved. So some of those questions have been answered. We're still wondering about the credit protection and identity theft insurance, and while they the Office of Personnel Management has said that they will provide that for 3 years to the affected individuals in this second breach, we're still waiting to see if they will extend that to a lifetime. We know that Congress is, members of Congress are proposing legislation to do that, and we're all for that.
I want to talk a bit more about credit protection in a minute, but more broadly, you called on the government when you testified last week to swiftly remedy the situation. I mean, given the extent of the damage and the fact that the data has already been stolen, what can the administration do?
Well, they can certainly put into place better security measures. The sad part about all of this is many of the people that were affected by this are in positions where they already have physical risks associated with their jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, prison guards, law enforcement officers, people that work overseas. And now they have to watch their backs because of a new threat based on these hacks. So we would welcome the administration to provide a benefit for all federal employees right now to give them credit protection and identity theft insurance protection.
Has that conceptually ever been talked about before, adding that as just a general federal benefit for all federal employees? Any idea how it would work in practice?
I would assume that it would become automatic with the job. Hopefully, there wouldn't be any premium, but we'll see what the proposed legislation's details are on these things, and we would certainly welcome a new benefit for federal employees.
I want to go back to the first breach for a minute, if we can. One of the communication complaints about that first incident was, you know, even though OPM was saying that these were personnel records, there was not a lot of granular detail about what kind of personnel records those were and what kind of information was taken. Have we gotten any more clarity on that since then?
Well, we certainly know that, or at least what OPM has stated, is that there was no financial information involved in those. They would be the general information regarding federal employee, name, address, social security number, date of birth, that sort of thing. Nothing that could be thought of as financial information. We're also pleased to hear that none of the retirement records, the annuity records, which would certainly have updated information regarding financial information as to where their annuity was being sent directly, deposit their bank accounts and that sort of thing, seems to have been breached in either one of the incidents. So, but going back to the first one, just personnel information, names, former names, and addresses, that sort of thing.
In the overall context, in terms of the government remedying the situation, one suggestion that I've heard actually several times from our listeners and readers is that the government goes so far as to reissue new Social Security numbers to people who are affected by these breaches. I don't know if you have a position on that in one way or the other, but are there more drastic, more serious things that the government, or more forward-leaning things is probably a better way to put it, that the government could or should be doing here beyond, you know, identity protection services?
Well, we've had suggestions from some members that both Social Security and the IRS provide PIN numbers for individuals, so that if you're doing your taxes online, you're filing them online, you would have to use a PIN number in order to have those go through to the IRS. Social Security already has an online system that requires a password. So I don't know if we need a PIN for that. But, anything that you do with the government that involves finances or information that they require you to do online, probably assigning somebody a PIN number for each one of those would be a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And then back on the identity protection services issue, I mean, there were certainly some issues with the services that the government offered in the wake of the first data breach, including the fact that the way that those notifications were sent out made them confusing, to say the least, as to whether or not they were legitimate emails. But I don't think we've heard anything about what they're doing for this 21 million plus population that was just revealed to have been victims of the second breach. Have you guys at NARF heard any details about how they're going to take care of that population?
Well, we don't know who's going to do it for them. We don't know who the contractor is going to be, but OPM has stated that each of the individuals in the second breach will be personally contacted by mail. So that's a good start. As you pointed out, the confusion with the communications and the reporting, the enrollment into the credit reporting, was done largely by email coming from a .com, and people either were distrustful of any mail coming from a .com, or the email provider was throwing them into a junk bin. It was considering them spam, so it didn't work out real well. And so I think this is notifying everybody by mail, hopefully with the agency seal on it, we'll give it a little bit more authority, and it'll be something that people can trust a little bit more than just coming from a .com agency.
And I know you all were getting reports of people clicking on those links and entering in their PINs and their information and seeing another federal employee's information instead of their own. Can you tell yet how widespread that was, or were those just a couple isolated cases?
Well, we're a large organization in number, but relative to the federal employees and retirees that are out there, we're small. And we got several of these reports by members where the email was sent, or the letter was sent to them at their address, but with somebody else's PIN number when they went to enroll. So, and we still have not received an explanation from the Office of Personnel Management on that, even though we have queried them. Don't know if we will. We'll see. But certainly, hopefully, that this next set of breach communications coming out from the Office of Personnel Management will be a little bit better thought out, a little bit better structured before they start it, so that there won't be those kinds of problems and mysteries. But it is disconcerting. It's bad enough that the trust people have in their employer, the government, was found lacking, but now for that sort of thing to happen just compounds the issue, and it's very difficult to know who to believe and what to believe when you get it.
Before I let you go, David, I wanted to ask you quickly about the leadership transition at OPM. Does NARF take any particular view on whether it was the right thing to do to replace Director Archuleta, and how do you feel about her replacement, Beth Cobert?
NARF thinks that the decision was probably a good one on the part of the director. We look forward to having some new leadership at the Office of Personnel Management, specifically Ms. Cobert and her experience in this whole crisis. I think that the Office of Personnel Management certainly hasn't lost anything in making the change, and hopefully it'll be an improvement in forward-looking and getting these systems secure so that people can have faith and trust in their employer and their personal information.